You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Today's guest is Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. Bob, welcome back.
Well, it's always good to be here. I've been doing these programs now for you for about 2 years.
Yeah, a couple years at least.
And I always get a lot of good engagement afterwards of people. Some agree, some disagree. Most agree. But it's always good because we want people to think on their own. The system of this world wants people to think any one way. They try to indoctrinate people to think in a particular way. In fact, we were just talking before the show about the one kid who got suspended for not joining in the gun protest. You know, you can have any thought you want as long as it agrees with us. And so what we want to do really is we want people to really engage their mind and align it with the Word of God and see if what we talk about, I mean, prove all things. So what we talk about, we want our fellow brothers and sisters to prove it, to see if what we're saying is in alignment with God's Word. If it is, then I would say probably be worth listening to it and doing some of the suggestions we make. If it's not, free to point it out to us how we're not preaching God's word or teaching what God has to say, and then we can either say, well, this is why we are and whatever, or we could be corrected. But I want people to be engaged in what we say, because I think the times in which we live, we have to do what the Bible says, and that is gird up the loins of our mind with truth. We have to build ourselves up. We have to have our mind and heart and feet placed on the truth. If we don't, we are not going to stand. Jesus said that what is coming upon the earth is going to be worse than anything humanity has ever seen, and that if it were possible, God's people would be deceived. Now, I take that as meaning it's not. I think God's elect or God's elect, and he keeps them, but that's a theological discussion we can have some other time. But I think, that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived, and that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. So, Mark, what we're heading towards is unparalleled times, and we see it right now. We are historically in unparalleled times. Technology is opening up doors for humanity that I don't know were meant to be opened. Everything is accessible. The ultimate expression of the knowledge of good and evil is on our doorstep. It's at our keyboard. And so we see that today, and we see mankind totally violating and abandoning God's laws and commandments. We see the subsequent, the judgment that those things bring. I mean, we were talking before the show about the pornography epidemic in America, and the divorce rate and all these things that it causes, and we see our families being destroyed because we have abandoned God's word concerning marriage, and even the church has. I pose that question to you. What's worse, a couple pagans practicing homosexuality or two people who proclaim they love Jesus getting a divorce? Paul does permit, divorce for adultery. But even then, I would say if repentance is there, if the offending party is contrite and with a broken heart and grieves over their sin, I would say forgiveness is the rule of the day. And I understand it's a terrible thing when that happens in a marriage, and the party that's been offended really has to step up to the forgiveness plate in a way we probably, most of us, would never have to do. But even then, I would say God says to forgive and restore the marriage. and that takes a lot to do it. But again, the question is, what is worse, a couple pagans practicing paganism or pastors looking at pornography, Christians getting divorced? And so the church today, it seems, has let down all of the standards. Anything goes. In fact, we were, about the pornography issue, Mark, I was joking with some people one time, and I shouldn't have been, but, you know, because it was probably too true. I said, you know, anything goes in the church. They probably have Christian pornographers. And, you know, I Googled it, and they actually do. And they did it under the thing of marriage enrichment, that you can view this Christian pornography, whatever that is. That's, like I said, demon-possessed.
Wow.
Christian. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it enriches your marriage. I mean, so the church has let down all of the standards, and when we've done that, the church is the gate that holds back the demonic forces from flooding this world, and the church has not only refused to be the gate, but if there's any gate there, it's opened it up, and we see such a rush of evil coming upon this world today that, you know, it's reminiscent of what we Noah must have seen before the great judgment of his day. And so my word to Christians is to prepare your hearts. Get planted in God's word. If you do not spend time daily in God's word, you really need to change that and spend time in God's word. If you're married and you have a spouse, I would strongly say you need to spend time with your spouse daily in some form in prayer. You know, and I, you know, my wife and I have talked about this a lot. You know, we've looked at each other after a time in prayer when God's met us, and we, you know, say, you know, if people did this, I could never divorce you when I do this. And not that I ever want to, because I have a wonderful wife. But I mean, I'm just saying, as a couple, if couples did that, how could you look at your spouse and say, I'm going to divorce you now after we've prayed? I mean, you know, if you develop that prayer time together, where you're seeking God, you know, it's strength to our families, and it prevents deception from coming into our families, and it puts our family on a sure footing. And as the father does that, boy, the example he sets for his children, and of what it means to lead in a family, and to be the head of the household, those things. And you know, all the system out there of the world is trying to destroy that male role model of a strong, just, loving, caring, godly man. Everything is out there to try to destroy that. And so I would just say, in the days in which we live, husbands, step up to the plate. And if you're engaged, step up to the plate, you know, your prospective husband, and start by leading in prayer, seeking God with your spouse on a daily basis. And I think if you do that, good things will happen. You know, I'll just share a personal thing. The other night, my wife and I were just talking, and you know, before we started praying, and then at night we were praying, and I mean, the Spirit of God showed up. Like I'm telling you, Mark, in 32 years of marriage, it had not shown up. I mean, it was a very, very special moment, and the Lord put some words in my heart for my wife, and I just started speaking them to her. And I mean, it was just a very, good thing. If we don't avail ourselves of those times, they'll never show up. They'll never happen. And so again, I would just encourage people, in the way we see deception coming on the world today, we see ministry after ministry failing, ministry after ministry accepting false doctrine. Pastors are retiring, quitting at alarming rates. You know, and so, you know, if you want to be those that fight the good fight until the end, if you want to be faithful until the end, there are certain things you're going to have to do, and that is one of them: prayer with your spouse, and keeping in God's word.
Absolutely, and I'd like to add to that, for your children, you know, I think it's so important for families to get together and read the Bible together daily. You've got to be reading that Bible to your children daily, because you cannot depend on taking your kid to church on Sunday and trust that man up there is, number one, even telling you the truth to begin with, but once a week is not, even if you've got the best pastor in the world, once a week, or maybe it's a Sunday and Wednesdays twice a week, does not do it. You've got to be washing your family in the Word daily, and reading God's Word to your kids.
I'll go so far as to say this, and I might get some blowback on it. I think Sunday school is an unbiblical concept. I think that the Bible commands me to be the spiritual educator of my children. We have got this mentality in America. We pawn our children off for all the different categories in life that we
sure,
want them to
be. Yeah, the public school system, Sunday school. You're absolutely right. The Bible says, the Bible says, train up the your children in the way they should go. That's you. It doesn't say the word you, but it's implying the word you. Train them up. It doesn't say have them trained up in the way they should go. It says train them up in the way they should go. That's placing the responsibility on you for their knowledge of worldly things as well as the scriptures.
You know, Vodi Bakum, for those who know him, you can look him up online. He's really I love his ministry that he has. He's a black guy, and he's raised seven or eight daughters, and he's raised them all in the black community. They've not gotten pregnant out of wedlock. This man's done it right. And one of his sayings I just love, he goes, how do you expect to send your children to Caesar for 14 years and not make a Roman? I mean, you put them in the public school, you're going to lose them. Christian parent, if you put your children in the public school, you are going to lose them. No ifs, ands, buts about it, you're going to lose them. So it's a decision, you know, of what you want to do. I'm going to put my kids in school so I can get this out of it if I do, or I'm going to stay home and educate my children. That's the choice. And you know, the public school system, any vestige of you know, a neutrality, an openness in public school has gone. It shows it for what it is. It is a militant leftist social communism indoctrination center that teaches your children that they can be one of 39 genders. And that if you dare stand up and say, well, that's not right, you will be, you know, exfoliated in the worst possible way. I mean, so they are places of moral perversion. They are places that you cannot teach about God. Romans 1, if you go to the book of Romans and read Romans 1, denial of God as creator is the beginning of human depravity. It's there. It's written there. They denied God, and God gave them over. So, you know, in public school, I've heard Christians say that we have a good one. But if they cannot teach in your public school that God is your creator and that you are in his debt, you are beholden to him, he is your creator, he owns you, and he can put commandments on you. If the public school cannot teach that, which they can't, then, you know, it's not a good public school. It's not.
No, and all of science and biology is based on that atheistic worldview, which they call Darwinism, which Darwin himself said, if the fossil record, if it gets larger as it goes deeper, rather than more shallow as it goes deeper, or cuts down to a single species, towards a single species instead of multiple species, then my theory is wrong. So Darwin, with the evidence we have today, Darwin would not be an evolutionist right now, because his entire theory was based on the fossil record getting more and more shallow as we went deeper into the layers of the Earth's crust, which as we go deeper in the Earth's crust, instead of it getting more shallow, it gets wider because we have not only all of the species that exist today in those records, we also have you know, the doodoo bird and the woolly mammoth and the saber-toothed tiger and the brontosaurus and the T-Rex and all of these things that, in addition to what exists today, no longer exist. So it's getting more and more narrow from extinction. But all of these things were made at once by God. So he himself would not be an evolutionist, according to his own writings. Yet that blind theory that is, you know, and then that's why you have to have Common Core, because you have to start removing critical thinking. You got to take the common sense completely out of the equation to keep up this atheistic worldview charade.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
And, you know, again, I think the atheism was just the tool by which they destroyed Christianity. But in the end, the doctrines of demons will be introduced, and it's being introduced, you know, occultism, Mohammedism, that's all being introduced into the public school system.
Yes.
And so they needed atheism to destroy Christianity, but in the end, school systems, as we can see, and that's what they're evolving into, are centers that openly worship Satan. And so that's what the parent has to choose. I'm sorry, I didn't make the rules, but if you send your kids to public school, by that act, you're spiritually abandoning them. And I know I'll get blowback from that, but I have to tell the truth. Because the scripture, if you can point out to me in the scripture where you, anybody but you are obligated to be the spiritual and secular educators of your children, then I'll stand corrected. Now, that doesn't mean I cannot use other people to benefit. I mean, you can have homeschool co-ops where there might be a guy who's good in math, there might be a lady who's good in art, and you can co-op those people together, you know, so that you can join. Mutually educate your children, but at the end of the day, you are the one overseeing it all and making sure it is Christ-centered and that Jesus is being lifted up in the whole education process. That is critical. And because we haven't done that, we now have basically three generation of children that have grown up since the Supreme Court ruling that, you know, you can't have religion in school. And they've eviscerated all forms of religion out of school. We have three generations of children that have grown up now that really they're basically just materialists. Everything boils down to materialism, and we see these children just absolutely good for nothing. They have no skills. They don't know anything. It's really shameful listening to some of these interviews where they go into these campuses and ask, you know, high school kids some of the basic history or math questions that everyone should know, and it seems like a large percentage of them don't know them. It's really bad, and it's manifesting itself. Mark, I believe as we approach the end of days, we're going to see more of this. But again, you know, Jesus warns us. He gives us all kinds of road markers as we're driving down this road to beware, beware, bridges out, whatever, to do this, do that, go, don't go here, stay. You know, it reminds me of the Pilgrim's Progress, you know, where Christian was on the road to the Celestial City, and there was all kinds of deviations along that road for him to get off, and every one of them had a pitfall in it. The Bible warns us very clearly about don't get off, don't go here, don't do that, because they're pitfalls. They're gonna injure us and keep us from entering the Celestial City, which is heaven. And we see a world today. I mean, you know, just the news recently. I mean, this thing with the Russians, the Chinese, and the Americans were all going at each other's throat right now diplomatically. We're sending some pretty harsh rhetoric back and forth. We have proxy armies fighting each other. With Trump, you see Trump right now. I mean, you know, we see a government that is absolutely foaming at the mouth. Part of them hate him, part of them love him, but we are civilly a divided people. And the division is getting greater and greater. The rhetoric is becoming stronger and stronger. Just that the other day, that liberal congressman said that we should use the Second Amendment to have a coup against Trump. I mean, go in and kill him is what he's basically saying. Kill his followers. So this kind of rhetoric is escalating. It's not going to be long before somebody takes it beyond the escalation. In fact, it might be going on right now. We don't know this bomber that's in Austin. I mean, we don't know what his political motivations are, what he's doing, why he's doing it. But I imagine there's a political statement behind him when they find this guy who he is. There's going to be some type of politics behind it driving it. And it might be conservative, would be considered conservative. It might be liberal, but it's showing that we are a nation that has lost the ability to sit down with somebody we disagree with and have a civil conversation. The civil conversation's gone, and excuse me, we are seeing greater rhetoric bombs being thrown, and then now we see more violence. Just this last election, we saw these people beating up Trump followers. And with these schools, the school shootings, the stabbings, I mean, you train these children that they're nothing more than a product of chance and probability. I mean, and then you put them in homes that are broken. Some of these children do not know. I mean, their mother's been married or the father's been married two or three times, so they've gone through two or three fathers, two or three mothers. They're teaching them that there's no such thing as absolutes, there's no God. Then when these children start to break, they give them these mind-altering drugs. And then when they break more, they give them more mind-altering drugs. And then we wonder why they snap and go on a rage one time. I mean, to me, it's not a mystery at all. It's pretty common sense. It's just one thing after another. The moral slide. I was just watching something, all these young people descending upon this, this like spring break thing. And it just the debauchery that goes on there. I mean, perversion debauchery. That nothing is, these people have no holes barred. They may have sex in public and stuff. I mean, just in front of thousands of people, they don't care anymore. I mean, and if people can do that in front of a bunch of other people, it means that the bunch of other people really think the same thing. I mean, it's all accepted. So we see a nation that the moral fabric of our nation has been broken down. And this is, again, I think why you do what you do, what I do, what I do. I warn people, get ready. Physically prepare, spiritually prepare, because the times in which we're facing are going to get very, very dramatic. The violence is going to escalate, and ruin is going to come upon this nation. There was a story I posted on my Facebook Ready Made Resources account. It says more and more of these large grocery stores are going bankrupt. They're just going bankrupt. They can't, they can't stay in business. And so the potential for food shortages, the potential for all kinds of shortages, I think, are on the horizon. The potential for flashpoints for violence, the opiate addiction our nation's in, the obesity epidemic our nation is in. Mark, would you say that every sign of Deuteronomy 28 of judgment is being manifested in our nation?
Absolutely. One of the things that it says in Deuteronomy 28 is one of the curses in there is confusion of mind. you mentioned at the very beginning of the show an Ohio student that was suspended for refusing to walk out of school for one of the recent Never Again anti-gun protests. Did our founders intend for freedom of speech to be limited to people who agree with the official narrative? I mean, that's confusion of mind, isn't it?
It's beyond. I mean, just you just look at. We are a nation of aimless people. We no longer have a national directive. We're just aimless. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Everybody, their morality, they define it, they engage it, they do what is right in their own eyes. And that was what the days of Noah was like. In fact, one of the reasons that God brought the flood upon the world, there's one specific reason listed, and that is violence. The world was filled with violence. And you think today, Mark, of the violence against children that goes on in this world, the violence against women, the violence in our marriage, in our families. You look at the physical violence this nation is engaged in. We have just a history of war after war after war after war. I mean, violence has filled this world. You look at the movies, Hollywood, the anti-gunners make. it always amazes me. They're out there protesting guns, but all of them are just made a movie where they kill like 9,000 people, you know, in the goriest manner possible. But I mean, like John Wick and these movies would just glorify violence. You know, we're saturated with it. You know, I had a profiler with his federal law enforcement. We were talking about this one time, and he goes, you know, you look at what a person engages their mind in, and you know, whatever pleasures they engage their mind in, you know, when restraints are gone, that is what that person will do. And we get to the point of going, we are a nation that is saturated with pornography and a nation that is saturated with violence. Mark, if that gentleman was right, what's this nation going to do when the restraint of law is removed or breaks down and you have a nation of porno violent addicts?
Yeah, I guess rape's kind of like one of the natural outcomes of that, isn't it?
It's going to be more than just rape. It's going to be brutality to women. I mean, and this wasn't me making this up. This was a guy who's trained in profiling.
In Luke 17, it also says, in addition to the days of Noah, it'll be like the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course we know there it was brutality of men against men.
Violent.
As well. Violent, yeah. Violent rape of men is what that's what they yeah. wanted to do to the visiting angels that were visiting Lot.
So you know, we have hope in Jesus Christ. You know, I am a man at peace because my heart is right with Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven by His blood. I've been born again. I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So even though I see all these things, my heart is at peace. Now, I would say that's where the Christian needs to be, but at the same time, we need to be looking at these things and realizing what Jesus said. Jesus didn't sit there and give us sign after sign after sign after sign of what the end of the age would look like so we could ignore them. He gave us these signs so that we could pay attention to them and that we could prepare ourselves for them. Again, He told us that it would be the most difficult time humanity has ever had, that there'd be no, the days would be unlike anything mankind has ever experienced, and unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. And He gave us all these signs, and He said, you know, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, flee. I mean, that's just one sign. When you see this happen, do this. You know, it's being painted out for those who have ears to hear, eyes to see. It's being painted out right before our face to get ready for this thing that is coming. As I've told people, Donald Trump is opening up and revealing the fact of how corrupt our government's become, but at this point, I don't believe there's any saving of America. I know these people are out there telling, you know, that Donald Trump's going to bring in the golden age or this, that, or the other thing. I don't see that in Scripture. I think we've passed the Rubicon that this, you know, we're not, Donald Trump is not calling people to repentance from abortion or to re-sanctify the boundaries of what God defined marriage. Those things aren't being done. I mean, you know, I'm gonna offend some people here. You know, the saying "Make America Great Again" is a prideful boast because it's not being done in a spirit of humility, a spirit of repentance, a spirit of grieving over our sin. It's being done in a spirit of we're going to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, sort of what happened in Isaiah 9:10.
Yeah, 9:10.
We will rebuild.
Yeah,
that was make America, make Israel great again.
Absolutely,
that was their make Israel great again speech. You know, and they were doing it by human pride and human effort, and they were totally ignoring the national sin that got them there in the first place. And today, the make America great again, we're totally ignoring the gross sin that has got us into the place we're at. And we're saying by our own bootstraps, by our own power, by our own efforts, we're going to make America great again. You see our debts exploding right now. I mean, I think massive inflation could be right on the horizon.
I think you're absolutely right about the inflation, and I think we're already seeing it. You talked about grocery stores going under. They survive on razor thin margins, and you know, you can just Google that. It's amazing what grocery stores are able to eke out these really, really small profits, and just a little bit of inflation completely destroys that, you know. So and we're certainly starting to see that, and we've had several people come on the show and talking about what certain instances where the prices aren't going up that much, but a lot of the package sizes are getting smaller. You know, things that used to be a pound are now 12 ounces or 10 ounces, and everything from coffee to ice cream to chips. The packaging is getting smaller, but the prices are starting to go up. In addition to the packaging getting smaller, so we're really getting squeezed from both ends. We doubled the money supply under Obama, so all that money it's not going to just keep sitting in mattresses, especially as people see interest rates starting to move up. You know, and if you've got your money tied up in government bonds paying 3%, and inflation starts to go to 8, 9, 10%, then people aren't going to take that 3% from a bond, because that means they're losing 7%. So bond rates are going to have to go up. So interest rates are going to have to increase. And I think this is all baked into the cake right now. I think it's like you said, I think there's no way out of it. You know, Jeremiah, he preached a lot of gloom and doom, and people didn't want to hear it. And they had their prophets, talking about the golden age, and instead they threw Jeremiah in the pit. Because they shut him up. So, and then they had their other prophets that came along and spoke of the golden age, and sometimes people just they want to hear what their itchy ears want to hear, and they just don't want to hear the truth.
That's what we're experiencing right now. I mean, there's several authors that have written books about Trump being I saw a YouTube video how Trump was going to finally put an end to the Luciferian age. I mean, and it's gotten like, a million views or something. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Donald Trump's going to put an end to the Luciferian age. I mean, are we that deceived? I mean, are we? And I'm thinking, no, he's not. He's not. And yet people want to hear that. And I mean, there's something in me that wants to hear that. You know, I don't want to face hardship. I want to have good times. I mean, I want, the economy good. I mean, we all want that.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Bob Griswold. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Baer thought they were prepared for anything, but can they survive a total collapse of the economic system? If they want to live through the crisis, they'll have to think fast and move quickly. In a world where all the rules have changed and savagery is law, those who hesitate pay with their lives. The Kindle edition of The Economic Collapse Chronicles is now available as a box set. Buy your copy at Amazon.com today.